Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. Or if you're just joining us, welcome to Hour 2 of the Rod Peterson Show on this Thursday, December the 19th. Coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada, Canada's only mid-morning sports talk show. Darren DuPont is with me here in the bunker. We had a fantastic Hour 1 doing a lot of hockey talk. Cole and Mike Sillinger joining us. Cole of the Medicine Hat Tigers, top 10 team in the CHL. Reigning CHL player of the week is Cole. How about it when you're 16 years old and they're comparing this to Hall?
Yeah.
That's the comparisons he's drawing. So when the Medicine Hat Tigers are coming to your town, get a ticket, go watch the kid.
And I'm sure Cole and Michael spend a lot of time together over the holidays watching Team Canada, because pretty soon they'll be traveling to play for Team Canada.
Oh, yeah. Special time. And Mike Sillinger, of course, holds the NHL record for being traded the most times in the NHL. One that he's quite proud of. Did you watch that? I mean, you still hold the record, Sully? Yes, I do.
Puffs out
12
his,
teams.
Puffs out his chest. And I always wonder about that, because it's like, nobody really wanted to sign you long term.
He says 12 teams wanted me.
But that's my point. You're wanted, and every time a deadline comes or something, you're somebody that can help a team get over the edge.
So for a Calgary sports update, very pleased to welcome Danny Austin from the Calgary Sun, although he's recently changed his Twitter handle to Daniel Austin, so I guess he's changed his name. Daniel, Danny, Merry Christmas. Good morning. How are you?
Merry Christmas. I'm very much still Danny. If I did that, there's a problem. I didn't even realize that I changed it to Daniel. But please don't call me Daniel. Not even my mom calls me Daniel. She's upstairs right now. So
I got you. Okay. Oh, you're literally in your mom's basement. Are you one of those guys?
I'm in my mom's living room right now. I flew in. I was in Vegas for the UFC fights last week. And it was cheaper to fly back to Toronto and kind of get my vacation started early. So that is what I did. Yeah, I'm here in their much nicer home than the place I've got in Calgary. And enjoying life. It's good.
Danny, look, you cover the Calgary Stampeders so well, like a glove. So for lack of a better term, I've called this an exodus from the coaching staff and Ryan Dinwiddie and Pete Costanza. And it sounds like that's a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but they haven't gone through a shift in their coaching staff like this, not in the Huffnagel era. What's your take on how it's all gone down?
Well, I want to be clear. I think there's more to come. I don't think we're anywhere near the end of this coaching. I don't want to call it an exodus, but there's change coming. Dave Dickinson was on the radio in Calgary earlier this week, and he said that he thinks that they could lose two more defensive coaches. So that could be J.C. Sherritt. That could be Corey Mace. That could be Josh Bell. I guess technically it could be Brent Monson, although I'd suggest it wouldn't be. But, you know, this coaching stability has been a really major factor for the Stamps. So I think it's a huge area, if not of concern. It's just something we got to be watching, because the way the Stamps have done it is by retaining their coaching talent. And right now, this doesn't seem like they're having much success with that this offseason.
Is it an anomaly? Did it just happen this way, or did anybody see it coming? I mean, it's just very un-Stamps-like over the last decade.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if Dinwiddie would have left for an offensive coordinator job, or if it had to be head coaching. I think I assumed that he was going to get an OC offer somewhere and probably go for it. He's someone who's been on the radar for quite some time. And then all of a sudden you heard Mark Killam was interviewing. And I mean, you know that this is obviously going to be these guys' ambitions, but you don't know how realistic it is. It's probably a little bit of just a symptom of the Stampeder's success over the last however many years. So I don't think they saw it all coming at once. In the past couple of years, they've sort of lost one coach at a time. And sort of been able to promote from within. But, I mean, if they lose four coaches, no, there's no way they foresaw that. That's impossible. They wouldn't have put themselves in that situation, I don't think.
What was it like following the Stampeders this year? Because there was considerable intrigue and drama. Bo Levi missed most of the first half, obviously, then losing at home in the semifinal. In a year, you're hosting the Grey Cup. Nobody saw that coming. What's your 2019 recap of Calgary Stampeders football?
It was the most fun I've had covering the team, honestly. I mean, just if we're talking strictly from a media perspective, you know, they weren't five games ahead of the pack by early August, which was great. So there was actually drama and stuff to cover, and it was a young team. And what was interesting was from almost before training camp, one of the things that Dave Dickinson said was, look, this is going to take us a while. We want to be peaking in the playoffs. That's the goal. There are going to be hiccups along the way. So he sort of absolved himself from a little bit of criticism in the slow start because he was so open about what was going on. But it never quite came together. I don't know how much of that is just that Winnipeg sort of everything fell into place and it just didn't for the Stamps. But because of who they are, there's no way it doesn't feel like a regression, and they're, it looks like they're going to lose quite a few guys, or at least there's quite a few guys taking a shot at the NFL. I would expect Nick Arbuckle gone, but you've got Bo Levi Mitchell. So this year felt a little bit like a rebuilding year, even if nobody was willing to use that term. But ultimately, I mean, look, it was a step back, right? You can't paint it as anything else. This is the team that went to the Grey Cup 3 years in a row, and they weren't even in the West Final. There's no other way. There's no reason to do their PR work for them. It was a step back. No question about it.
I literally can't imagine how painful that loss was in the playoffs, because they do expect to be in the Grey Cup every year for sure, and they expect to win it. So to have not been in the game, even for the city itself. Yeah, did it take some buzz out of the city that the Stamps weren't in the Grey Cup?
A little bit. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I went to Regina for the West Final because I was like, all right, this is awesome. You know, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, who doesn't want to be there for that in Regina? And I think people were sort of excited. I don't think Stamps fans, but I certainly think the organizers were excited by the possibility of having Winnipeg or the Riders, and just because it would have brought a huge crowd. Yeah, it deflated it a little bit, but both Hamilton and Winnipeg travel well, so I think ultimately with the Grey Cup, it was a pretty fun week either way. In terms of sort of how the Stamps are perceived, I think that the hardcore fans, the people who, you know, follow you, follow me, I think they sort of understood what was going on this year. The Stamps had really been built for that sort of three-year run. And you know, you lose guys like Mike Johnson, like Alex Singleton all at once, you're not going to be the same team. We can't have that expectation that you're just going to find guys off the street who can come in and play at that level. So I think people were pretty understanding. And the problem is a little bit, and I mean, this NFL window stuff has been so confusing. But even some of these young guys who had a lot of success in their first year, going into this offseason, there's uncertainty as to whether they'll be back. So it's hard to know if it's even, you know, can you have a rebuilding year? I don't know if this NFL window is open or not, you know, with it. So it's all been very confusing. They don't know if they'll have a guy like Nate Hawley back. That impacts what they do with a guy like Corey Greenwood. So I think that there's a little bit of frustration right now just with not knowing what next year is going to look like.
Danny Austin with us from the Calgary Sun. Some viewers have questions for you, Danny. Alan Lai says, who is on the NFL radar for the Stampeders?
Well, let's, with the caveat that the NFL window confuses things, Reggie Bangleton does. He's a free agent next year. So he has already been trying out. I think he's got 7 or 8 NFL workouts and tryouts. And it would not be a surprise to see him at the very least get an offer, because he does have that big body. I think he could really thrive. A guy, Trey Roberson, had 12. I mean, I've spoken with his agent. He had 12 NFL workouts. The problem is that the Stampeders have an option for him for next year. So it's a little unclear whether he's able to go do those tryouts or not. Deshaun Amos, who is a guy who was the starting halfback this year and was honestly terrific, he is absolutely trying to go down there. Those are the big three. Nate Hawley is getting interest. So I guess those four are the main guys I would name.
Danny, how much time do you spend following the Calgary Flames cross town there? Because it seems it hasn't been a great year for them.
No. I mean, last year I was in the winter. Chris and Anderson, our very talented beat reporter, had a baby, so I was full time. And then this year, the Bill Peters stuff happened right after Grey Cup, so it sort of feels like I jumped right back on. So yeah, I've been following them pretty well. The year did not get off to the start that they wanted. That's for sure. Although they've turned it around a little bit over the last couple of weeks, and I expect them to have a good second half.
Okay, that was abrupt. That was abrupt. What makes you say that? Because of Jeff Ward? I mean, they got to make him the full-time coach, do they not?
I can't see there being another option. I mean, can you? Like, I honestly, he came in, and it's worth noting that week before Bill Peters resigned, I suppose is what we're saying, they had begun to turn it around a little bit, but there's a completely different vibe around the team right now. And it's much more fun. It's younger, it feels. The guys are really sort of coming in, enjoying their time at the rink, and I think that that's translating. I think we all know this younger generation, guys in their 20s, I think that they respond more to that and to that sort of positivity and that positive energy, and I think that's really paying dividends. The Flames weren't as bad as their record was showing or as bad as they were playing in early November. I still don't quite know how that sort of translated into what was going on the ice, because there's too much talent on that team for them to be out of the playoffs. I'm not saying they should win the West every year, but they should be a playoff team.
Evident they didn't like the coach. So that's what it seems like to me.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. I mean, people have asked me quite a bit, did we see anything of this with Bill Peters? And we didn't. But it seems pretty clear at this point that, yeah, his tactics, his sort of hard-nosed, hard-edged style just did not work. I mean, I think just look at Johnny Gaudreau's production since Jeff Ward took over. There's a pretty big contrast there. And yeah, I can't fully explain it, but God, Jeff Ward, he's loved around the rink already. He's great with media, so we'd all say hire him just because he's nice to us. And yeah, it's been a real difference. And I'd be shocked if he doesn't get the full-time head coaching job, although the Flames are going to take their time with that. They need to make sure they get it right.
Last one for you. I can't have a Calgary reporter on without asking for a facilities update. How excited are they for the new hockey arena? And what do you know about anything regarding a football stadium, upgrades or even a new one?
Let's start with the football stadium. As far as I know, there's absolutely nothing to update. I have asked. I don't see any upgrades significantly coming. I certainly don't see a new stadium. We're so jealous of what you have in Regina, so jealous of what there is in Winnipeg. But it's not happening. For right now, it just doesn't seem like it's a priority. And the owners were so focused on this arena. I have not heard a single thing in years about what they want to do with the stadium. As far as the arena, it's great. They need a new arena. Look, there's some controversy about funding. There's always going to be. These are huge infrastructure projects. Take a lot of public money. But the city needs it. We all know it hasn't been a great couple of years for Alberta, so I think there's real excitement, and it's really, really going to make a difference both for the city and for the organization.
Danny, thank you for the update, and I did enjoy your Twitter video from Montreal, that game at McGill, how much fun you were having there. It doesn't have to be new, but it needs to have some sort of atmosphere. Man, I appreciate you being a great guy. Merry Christmas. Enjoy your trip, and we'll hook up with you in the new year.
You bet. Merry Christmas, guys. Thank you.
Danny Austin from the Calgary Sun. Don't call him Daniel. Not even his mom calls him Daniel. I like that.
And, yeah, that's good.
And it's fun, by the way, talking about Calgary. We got a lot of Calgary viewers. And it's interesting. When I was in Houston, did you enjoy your time around George Cortez down there?
Loved my time around George Cortez.
He's so great.
Yeah. Loves to tell stories, and he's so articulate when he speaks that you hang on every word. He's not the most theatrical or the most engaging, but it's so interesting. You just have to listen to
him. Well, I think you were around. We all went for lunch after that show to the Capitol Grill across the street. And I know you didn't come over for that.
Yeah, I missed out.
But, you know, I said to George, where's your favorite place that you've lived? He's currently in Houston. He's a Texas guy, but he coached in San Francisco. He coached in Buffalo. Nobody likes Buffalo. Coached in Hamilton and spent a lot of time in Calgary. He coached here, too. And the reason that he likes Saskatchewan so much is he didn't need his car. So he could walk everywhere. It was the least amount of gas he'd ever burnt in his life. But he said the nicest place he'd ever lived was Calgary. And I said, really, Calgary? And he goes, well, you went to college there, didn't you?
And I'm like, yeah. And I who doesn't love going to Calgary?
It's
so beautiful. But how can they have the oldest facilities in the NHL and the CFL? That makes no sense. When they were rocking and rolling in dough, they should have been building new facilities then.
For sure,
a football stadium.
Yeah, it's one of the most beautiful places in the country.
It is so beautiful.
It's got a little bit of everything when you think about it, because it's got a little bit of small town feel in some areas. It's got the big city feel. You go to one end, you got the beautiful mountains and a half hour drive, you're in them. And you go the other way and you're in the prairies. You get all of it in Calgary. Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah.
But I was it last year? I was driving around Calgary. I'm looking at the foothills and it's so beautiful. And a voice echoed in my head. You know whose voice it was? My dad's. And my dad said, you can't eat mountains. And nobody would understand. Did I tell you this story?
No, you didn't.
Would you take a stab at what my dad meant by you can't eat mountains? Which was a phrase that he actually used.
Yeah, there's no cattle in the mountains. There's no grain growing in the mountains. No. You can't eat the mountains. I get it. We're not eating grizzly bears.
Your dad's still alive. Lucky for you. But there's a lot of times I'll be driving around, flying around, walking around, and my dad's voice will echo in my head. And that was one. And I was literally driving down Deerfoot, looking at the mountains, and my dad's voice, you can't eat mountains. Nice to visit. It's not where we make our money.
Yeah.
And the same holds true today.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong. Oh, and as a matter of fact, J.R. Rowley's watching in Cranbrook, and he says, how is Calgary beautiful? OMG. Well, listen, Cranbrook, you got it nailed for beauty. Nobody's as nice as that, but Calgary's very nice. And the funny thing is, J.R. in Cranbrook, my dad said that when we were in Cranbrook, because he was going to move us all to Craig, because farming was so bad in the 80s. And my mom literally said, you want to go to Cranbrook? See ya. I'm not leaving. Because she was a small town girl.
Yeah.
And that was enough for dad. So, okay, we're talking curling coming up, right?
Yep.
It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Thursday morning, episode 140 on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital GMC. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on brand new vehicles this holiday season. Get savings up to $15,000 or finance rates as low as 0% up to 84 months on select new inventory. Plus, every single one of our new 2019 models has had its price heavily discounted. Celebrate the most wonderful time of year with Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio. Music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
All right, welcome back, everybody, on a Thursday morning. Just ahead of some curling talk here in the old Rod Peterson Show. Sports update. Canadian NHL teams will face off tonight in Calgary as the Flames take on Montreal. It's one of 10 NHL games on the night. Ottawa welcomes Nashville. Winnipeg entertains Chicago. Vancouver home to Vegas. No Thursday night football, Darren. You follow the NFL closer to me. Is that because they're closer to the end of the season?
Yeah, I think so.
Or right? Christmas? No yeah. Thursday night no. football tonight, which sucks. The Raptors are expected to provide details today on how long Marc Gasol and Norm Powell will be out of the lineup. Gasol injured his hamstring in last night's win over Detroit, and Powell suffered a shoulder injury. Tom Coughlin is out as executive VP of football operations for the Jacksonville Jaguars. His firing comes two seasons after the team reached the AFC Championship game. The NFL Players Association says more than 25% of player grievances over the last 2 years have been against the Jaguars. You look up old school in the dictionary, you see Tom Coughlin.
That's the definition.
San Francisco corner Richard Sherman says he'll play this weekend against the Rams despite a partially torn hamstring. He missed his team's 29-22 loss to Atlanta with a grade 2 hamstring strain, which usually takes at least 4 weeks to heal. And the Virginia high school football coach who inspired the movie Remember the Titans is dead at the age of 84. Herman Boone guided T.C. Williams High School to a state championship while navigating the early days of desegregation. I can say it. Ali Khan Johnson, a longtime assistant coach for Boone, says Boone died yesterday at his home in Alexandria, Virginia. In the movie, Boone was portrayed by...
Yeah.
Denzel Washington. Denzel. Great show.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Kinda what's your favorite sad. Football movie?
That's the one.
Kirk Myers, what's your favorite football movie?
I think I got to go with Remember the Titans. That was always a good one.
That's my favorite movie,
for
period.
For me, We Are Marshall.
Yep.
And for various reasons.
McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey, my wife's favorite actor. And I would suggest Celebrity Crush. By the way, this sports update for Seat Giant. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RPSHOW fans. Visit seatgiant.ca. I did that with the Houston Rockets to the Sacramento Kings. The money I saved bought us 2 hot dogs.
Well, it's amazing.
In U.S. dollars.
It's amazing how much cheaper it actually is when you're actually dealing in
Canadian
dollars. Oh, yeah.
And Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill at the corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon. See you at Wendell's. Yesterday was Wendell Wednesday. We need to make mental notes of this.
Okay.
What would today be? Vive Thursday? Was there a leaf that started with...
Rick Vive, yeah.
I'm just trying to think of what's on special at Wendell Clark's. Can you guys let us know?
Great place, I must say.
Have you been there, Kirk Myers?
Been there. Cool vibe. Amazing service. Awesome.
And they air a lot of curling in there, too, I've noticed.
Why not?
Why not? Why wouldn't you? Yeah. By the way, thank you for the Christmas card, by the way. Speaking of old school, is this your handwriting?
Can you read it? That's my
Barely.
Handwriting. Barely. I know.
Barely. Very nice of you.
It's gotten worse over the years, too, I must say, Rod. As I get older, I don't know, I don't take as much time writing, and it's getting more like chicken scratch.
Myers curling team, thank you for support of curling in our team. So I thank you for that.
We're displaying
it proudly here.
I like it.
What's your schedule been like? You've been a busy guy.
Yeah, it's been busy. It's been nice. December's been a little slower, but up until December, I think I was on the road 8 to 9 weekends. And then September and in August, we were in Japan. So it's been a busy few months. It's nice to have a little break here. My partner, Claire, she had ACL surgery a couple weeks ago. So we've been nursing her back to health now, and it's nice to get a little time off for Christmas. And then January 2nd, we're right back into it. We have a mixed doubles event in Banff, which is cool. Get to spend a few days in Banff. And then we go from there. We go direct fly right from there to Phoenix for a World Curling Tour event.
Cool.
We're playing the I don't know if I talked to you guys about the NFLers who were giving the curling a chance. Oh, this might be juicy.
Well, because Vernon Davis.
Do we have breaking news?
Well, I wouldn't say breaking news, but Jared Allen, Mark Bulger, Roos. Help me with the first name.
Nate? No, that's the singer.
Russo? Anyways.
You had me at Jared Allen.
Jared Allen decided he wanted to go to the Olympics about 2 years ago. And so he decided he was going to start curling. He picked up a couple other guys, Mark Bulger, and then, like I said, this defensive lineman. And they are giving it a go. So they fly they live in Nashville. They fly to Blaine, Minnesota every week to train. And then they play in the World Curling Tour.
They're good then.
They're getting there.
They're getting there.
I think they won their first or second game this season.
Okay.
Ever.
Yeah.
And so anyways, we're playing them and we get to play them down in Phoenix as well. They're going to be there. We played them last year too. And they're getting good.
Did they get a sponsors exempt entry or?
I believe Jared Allen sponsors the event.
There you go.
With one of his businesses.
He just pays, so he's in.
Yeah, okay. So he's in. And they're unreal. So last year after the game, we got to spend some time with them. They're great guys. They really are. And they fit the curling mold well. You know, we're just hanging out. They're good guys. They take time, and they love the game. They love the camaraderie.
I remember, it was Vernon Davis, right?
That's right,
yeah. Michael Ruse.
There's the team.
He was
there
an offensive
Chris
lineman.
Hodges. Thank you, Chris Hodges.
Yes.
Oh, and Keith Bullock, the Titan. And yeah. I think Michael Ruse spent some time in Tennessee, too, with the Titans as an offensive line. Not offensive or defensive line, but Keith Bullock was a really good linebacker, and he's still a broadcaster with the team, too, now. So that's exciting. But, yeah, Vernon Davis, all pro and going to be, I think he's going to be
can't
a Hall
win
of Famer.
With him.
But he was part of the Olympic team, or he was like around the Olympic team, wasn't he?
I think.
Yeah, hanging out a lot.
Yeah. He was like the honorary fifth man, so he loved curling, too, but he's not taking it like these guys. These guys, I've read a couple articles, like they want to go to the Olympics in 2022.
Wow.
That's their goal. And Jared Allen's spearheading it. And Keith Bullock, I don't believe, is playing this year. They have an actual curler.
Okay.
That's skipping them. But it'll be exciting to see how far they've progressed in the year since we played them last year. So
what venue is it in? Do you know in Phoenix?
They have a curling club down there. So basically a bunch of transplanted Canadians decided to rent a warehouse and build a curling rink in it. And it's great. The ice is good. Beautiful rink. Same thing. It's like a small town rink. You're just amazing people running it. They got the bar in the corner. It's right by the airport. It's a great event.
So Scottsdale.
Scottsdale.
Basically.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's cool. Right after that.
I think
that
we should do a show live from there. What
that
do you think?
Cool.
Just fly down. Flights are cheap now.
Any trip to Phoenix, I'm game for.
Yeah, I know
so,
you are.
Let me just say this, though. Because our crew here, Paul and the IKS crew, just were in Langley doing a site visit for something IKS is involved in, right? Can I talk about that? Grand Slam curling event, was it not?
Yeah, they do a lot of curling.
They do a lot. What's the event in Langley coming up? You're not part of it?
No, Langley. I don't, not none that
oh,
I know.
Oh, it's juniors. Okay, Clark's
okay,
telling me it's
go.
Juniors.
That makes sense.
Thank
okay,
you.
I was like, junior Canadians.
Why was this not on my radar? Thank you, Clark, for telling me that. There's a lot of curling going on, man.
There is. It's busy and going to get busier once the playdowns start now after Christmas, like juniors, women's, men's, seniors, and then you sprinkle in some of the grand slams and stuff. And this is when the average curling fan really heats up.
Yeah.
When the Scotties playdowns come around, the Briar playdowns come around, and they're coming in a few weeks. So,
What about the Tankard playdowns for you guys? When are you getting real about provincial playdowns?
It's always kind of real. Like, I've said this forever. I think most curlers would agree with me. Like the Scotties and the Briar are still, they're coolest things in curling. Yeah. So I mean, every year there's nothing more fun than the Tankard. It's all or nothing. You either win or you go home. Everything rides on it. No one remembers third place, fourth place, fifth place. You don't get a paycheck for fifth place. You only get something for first place. So that's what makes curling awesome, curling special. And so all season we're getting pumped up for it. But we got two more events. Phoenix and the Grand Slam in Yorkton, and then we get a week off, and then the Tankard. So we're really putting the finishing touches on what we want to do there.
And Melville, right? Title. Tankard and Scotty's in the same venue.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a first, is it not?
I believe, and some of the old curling fans are going to know this better. Like in 91 or 92, did Regina not host?
It wasn't 92 because I was at it in Yorkton.
That was the Briar.
It was 91.
91 yeah. At the Agrodome. Did they host both of them simultaneously? I think that was the only time in history that they've been together. So this will be the second time in Melville. I don't know if you guys have been the arena down there.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Horizon Credit Union Center in Melville.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a story. And by the way, your partner, is that what we're calling her today? Claire.
Right.
Hi, Kirk.
She's nursing her ACL from home watching
on
us.
Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Perfect. But I was out in Yorkton area. When was I out there speaking in Roxton? Oh, it was the Friday of Grey Cup weekend. That's why I couldn't go to Grey Cup because I had a speaking event in Roxton. Do you guys know where that is? Never heard of it. 30 miles east of Yorkton. Not that far. Which, by the way, as I was driving out there, a moose crossed the highway.
Whoa.
They are not graceful creatures. And I'm thinking if anybody's from that Yorkton-Roxton area, they probably see it all the time. I've never seen a moose cross the highway before. I was spellbound.
They're bigger than
anyway,
you think, too.
They're
right?
Gigantic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you don't want to hit a moose.
No.
A deer you can get away with. and live. Probably just some, you know, injury, insurance claims. Moose,
and they're,
you're done.
And they're dark, too. The worst thing you had dry, because we drive all the time for games, you know, and we always come home and drive
at night.
You don't
see
them,
yeah.
No, and I remember
we should tag
driving,
those things.
It was super dark, and the moose was on the shoulder, and I didn't see it till the very end, and all of a sudden it goes right by the window, right? And it's so dark, yeah. And it's so big, it's like a monster, and then you have to pull over because your heart's going 1,000.
We should have,
like, almost,
yeah,
died, right?
Yeah. Well, where are the conservation officers should be out putting fluorescent orange tape around, mm-hmm, their racks.
Yes.
So we can all see. Anyways, the next morning, because I stayed in Yorkton after speaking to the crew out there, the RM of Calder, I'm sitting there having coffee in the Holiday Inn little breakfast area there. Guy comes up, sticks his hand out, Rod Peterson. I said, yep. Bruce Cordy. And he's organized, one of the main organizers of the Tankard and the Scotties.
Yep.
That's where I learned that they're together. And they're very stoked in that area for this. Why wouldn't you be?
Oh,
right.
I think so. And I know Bruce has taken over this year and just kind of developing some things that help the Tankard and the Scotties Championship kind of move forward. And Bruce would be great at that. But I remember we played the Tankard in Melville in 2016. The town loved it. It was great. It was, you know, 1500 seat arena. It was basically full. It was an amazing Tankard, and now to have both of them, and it's gonna be awesome. I mean, Silver Nagles in the women's, Dunstone, us,
big names
in the men's too. It's gonna be cool. And then the Grand Slams in Yorkton a few weeks earlier, or a week earlier. That's gonna get everyone primed up for curling, mm-hmm, in that part of the world. It's gonna be exciting.
I want to talk about that more when we come back. Clark's telling me to take a break because that'll give us more time for Rachel Holman, who will be joining us after the break. So you're watching The Rod Peterson Show, episode 140, coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada, where we talk about things that Western Canadians care about on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snowbeef.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appell Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%. That's people.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show on this Thursday morning, December the 19th, coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. Canada's only mid-morning sports talk show is right here. Check in the poll results of today's Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center question. It is, how will Team Canada finish at the World Juniors? They're playing, like, probably shouldn't say right now. Right? In an exhibition game, Dupes?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they're playing either Switzerland or Austria. They're playing one of them in the other, whatever. This is just an exhibition game. 37% of Twitter respondents have now appropriately voted for gold. That's leading.
Finally.
But it's fractured. On Facebook, 54% of our viewers say Canada will win gold. And that leads there on Facebook. But just to go to the Twitter respondents from our Twitter feed, at Rod Peterson Show, 37% say Canada will win gold, 24% say silver, 17% say bronze, and 22% say fourth or lower. Do these people know what they're talking about?
I know.
What a bunch of negative Nancys.
1-0 Canada. Dawson Mercer.
They're playing, eh? Okay.
Just tipped home a shot from Jamie Drysdale. That's from Mark Masters. He's my World Junior source because he's always on it.
Herb. Paul Druan watching from Evraz Place this morning. Good morning, Paul. Thanks for tuning in from Evraz Place. Just ahead of Rachel Holman, who Clark says they're making contact with right now, Kirk Myers is with us from the Myers Curling Team. And I don't know what it is about Yorkton Melville. We had your now really good friend in here, Benny Hebert, meet, self-proclaimed nickname. And he said that Yorkton, for those Grand Slam events, is the wildest stop in the country.
Yeah.
What's Yorkton got going on that...
I think it's just a curling culture like none other. I mean, Saskatchewan as a whole is great, but it seems you go there at 8 in the morning, games are packed. 8 at night, games are packed. The Pinty's pub is packed. Mm-hmm. They have their briar patch thing. Is always, the Grand Slam social hall is always packed. Like it's cool, and everyone gets around the locals too. So they cheer for Benny, they cheer for Dunstone, they cheer for Silvernail. Silvernail's not going to be there. She's prepping for her Scotty's playdowns. But I think it's really cool just because the local town just gets around the local players and just supports them. And it just fills the house. I mean, we all know playing in an empty barn sucks. Playing in a full barn is so cool. Even a smaller full barn is so cool.
Yeah.
And curling's starting to figure that out and go to the right size venues, create good atmosphere for the players, which then creates good atmosphere for the fans, which then creates good atmosphere for the people watching on TV. It's a win-win-win.
And more dough.
Yes. I've always said that when it comes to the hockey, is 800 people at Rutherford Rink in Saskatoon way better than 3,000 people at the SaskTel Center.
Yeah. And... No, it's something about Yorkton. I was there. I didn't really want to leave. I was having such a good day. Yorkton's humming. Yeah. So is Alberta, too, of course. And that's where we hook up with Rachel Holman this morning. Throw your headphones on, Kirk.
Okay.
Rachel Holman joining us today. A break from her busy schedule joins us on video chat. Good morning, Rachel. How are things in northern Alberta today?
Good morning. They're a little chilly, but pretty good.
Good, good. And Kirk, you can chime in on this too. Where's the rowdiest, best venue in Canada? Because you've been around the world, but in Canada, that you like curling in the most for atmosphere?
I was kind of listening to Kirk a little bit, and I would have to agree, Saskatchewan is, it doesn't really matter where you go in Saskatchewan. I know you guys were talking about Yorkton, but Saskatoon, it's almost always sold out kind of no matter where you play in Saskatchewan. So it's always a lot of fun to go there.
Can you tell us how your curling season's been here, 2019-20, and how you guys are feeling as we get into the money time coming up here in 2020?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. We did really well early and then kind of hit the pause button there in the middle and then just won the Canada Cup and didn't qualify in the last one. So we're hitting it all. We're having some... disappointing weekends and some really amazing weekends and just trying to find our groove again. We had a bit of a different off season this year in the summer, different training and looking a little bit different going into the season. So we weren't able to get everything we wanted to get into as early as we normally like to. So we're hoping to figure out how what kind of training we're going to go and do into provincials and playdowns.
It seems like you guys, Rachel, over the years have always been able to just rise to the occasion. And you didn't mention it here, but they also got the first trial spot at the Canada Cup. You know, everyone always asks you, how does that change your planning over the next few years and that sort of thing? You know, and I'd like to know if it does change it at all. But is that a weight off your shoulders to know that you do have that trial spot? Or is it more just, you know, you knew you were going to be in the trials. It didn't really matter when you were going to qualify for them. You just happened to get it at the Canada Cup there. But you guys seem to always rise to the occasion, you know, win the games you need to win. And you did it there. How does that feel, you know, kind of going into the next few years, knowing that you got that locked up?
I mean, it felt great. The Canada Cup is, for those of you who don't know, is basically a trial run for our trials. And the trials is, if you win that, you represent Canada at the Olympics. And so it's always great to kind of do a test run. It's always the same time in December, end of November. And they do it every year. They have the trials. Every 3 years they have the trials. And in between they do Canada Cup. And so it's very similar, and it's great to be able to do well there and get our trial spot. It's definitely a little bit of a weight off your shoulders, for sure. You don't really have to think about it going forward, but you have so many goals as a curling team. You're not just looking 3 years down the road. You're there's slam goals and play down goals, and as well the TSN events are always huge and attract great crowds. And there's a lot of different things along the way other than the Olympics. And so absolutely, that's a huge weight off our shoulders, especially with kind of the up and down season we've had this year. But hoping to have some more ups coming up in January. We've got play downs, and I mean, it's really important for us to get back to the Nationals and represent our province, and hopefully we can get there.
Hey, Rachel, that actually leads into the question I had for you, because we were talking about it with hockey, and you kind of touched on it here. How big is the Olympics for you guys and for curlers? And Kirk, you guys need to touch on this too. How big is that? Because we know the Scotties are big, the TV events, the slams, those are all pretty big. And you know, it's definitely the Scotties and the Brier that are the two biggest ones for kind of us in the country. But where does the Olympics fall into just kind of goals, dreams, and just how big is that?
I think for any amateur athlete, the Olympics is kind of that, the pinnacle, the be all end all. Everyone wants to get there. Everyone wants to bring a medal home for Canada and play on that Olympic stage among so many amazing peers. It's amazing to see curling is just gaining so much speed in so many different countries. They've been putting years behind their teams and so much funding. And so kind of when you see our slams and there's all kinds of international teams there, you always see them in the playoffs. They're right there with our Canadian teams. And so we've kind of got a battle against some teams that are fully funded, and that's kind of their full job. And then in Canada, it's a little bit less so, but we're still trying to compete and trying to win medals for Canada's game, curling.
Speaking of funding, when the news came down the last 10 days, 2 weeks, about equal pay for Briers and Brier and Scotties winners, you're the first person I thought of, because we just talked about that in Paradise Hill last month. So yeah. What did you think when that news, did you know that it was coming, or was it a surprise to you when they announced it?
No, actually, I had no idea it was coming. I know Catherine Henderson has been working on it for the last couple of years since she's been our president, and it's something that came as a shock. Absolutely. I know we touched on it in some meetings and, didn't think it would go that well and didn't think it would happen this soon. Just from speaking with different parties and different people involved. So that kudos to Curling Canada for making that happen. And, I mean, we've won 3 Scotties, so I wish it happened, on our first one.
The best is still to come.
You can't have it all.
Best is still to come. What do you got, Kirk?
Well, I was going to say, you've won 3 Scotties, Rachel. The curler of the decade is coming up, and I think you got to be a prime candidate for that. But on another note, a new mom, and you grew your family this season or this summer. How has that kind of played into your team, and for Joanne too, being a new mother, kind of played into your team into this season? Has it changed the dynamic on the road at all? And I can't imagine how tired some games you must be, but you still find a way to compete. So just like you to shed a little light on what it's like to be a new mom and still competing and being one of the best players in the world.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you don't feel like one of the best players in the world because you're exhausted going out on the ice and not sure what you're doing. But it's definitely very challenging. I think you can't really prepare yourself for what's to come. And every situation is different and every kid is different. So that's going to look different even within the same sport or within the same team. And so we're just trying to go with trial and error and see what works and what doesn't. And we've definitely found what doesn't. And so we've found a few things that are working and trying to find that balance between being a mom and getting the rest that you need to be able to perform at your best is really, I think, the biggest challenge. And trying to find that balance of not feeling guilty of kind of doing what you love and also being a good mom and being there for him. So it's definitely challenging, but it's an amazing experience. And we both feel so lucky that we're able to do that. I know a lot of people have problems. And so we feel very fortunate that we're able to still compete and bring them on the road with us. And that's a lot of fun.
Well, I know on the outside looking in, you guys look like you do a great job, but I'm sure it doesn't feel like that on the inside all the time. So it's pretty cool to watch you guys be able to do that.
I got to say, Rachel, too, just lastly, before we let you go, I was thinking about this when I was driving home from that event in Paradise Hill. I only knew you from what I saw on TSN and certain Sportsnet events, and it's that steely, fiery glare on the ice, never crack a smile. And then we're in this hall, and you're quick with a joke, cool, funny. Does something take you over when you step on the ice that you're just this fiery competitor? What? Because you're a completely different person away from the rink. Would you agree with that? Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah, absolutely. I think anyone in sport, like it's hard to explain, I guess, but when you go out on the ice and you have a job to do and you want to be professional and you want to make sure you're competing at the highest level and you're completely engaged in what you're doing, it's definitely a different person. And I mean, it doesn't really matter what it is, whether it's business or sport, whether it be amateur, professional. You're going to have that drive and that you have that motivation to succeed in whatever you're doing. And so there's not really a ton of room for jokes and just having fun and relaxing and kind of just getting to know one another. But it's definitely different. It's great to do those events and it's great to meet people like you. I mean, it's great to hear your story and it was a lot of fun. Being on stage doing the hot stove questions, it was definitely a great experience. But I think it's just very different whether you're competing. I mean, if you looked at anyone, it's easier for us, I guess, maybe to be picked apart just because we don't have a helmet on or a mask to kind of hide that part, to get that little bit of a barrier. But I think if you took the helmets off football players or hockey players, you wouldn't see too many smiles, maybe after the goals, but that's...
Yeah, they would look just as intense. And lastly, by the way, it's been a bit of a running theme since that event on this show. Was it as awkward for everybody else in the room, the fight Daryl and Sutter and I were having on Don Cherry, or was it just... Because they're still talking about it up there. Was it that awkward? Could you feel it?
I could feel it. I was with you, and I think it was you and me against... 200 others. So
okay, good.
I'm sorry I didn't come to your defense, but I wasn't sure if we were gonna get chased out with pitchforks. So
I think you were as stunned as I was that this was turning into a thing. But yeah, so anyway, thank you for that. Next time, don't be afraid to pipe up.
I mean, I love Saskatchewan. I didn't want to get on their bad side.
Gotcha. Well, they love you too. We love you too. Rachel, thanks for this. And we'll be watching into the new year. Merry Christmas to your young family out there. And thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you so much. Happy Christmas to you guys. And hope all is well.
Appreciate it. You bet. Rachel Holman this morning from Alberta joining us. And that was fun. All of this has been fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's great. And I've never met her, so this was kind of fun.
This is the curling talk overall.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun. Kirk, I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having me. Like I said, Rachel's awesome. I've known Rachel for some time now, and her and her team, they're just really role models for a lot of people in this country, that's for sure. And they're winners. And watching big games with players like Rachel and Emma and Joe and Lisa. Boy, it's fun to watch that because they are just absolute winners, and that's what sport's all about.
No kidding. Kirk, Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
And before it gets hot, real hot, on the road, we'll get you back in here and tee it all up. Cool?
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You betcha. Kirk Myers from the Myers Curling Team. Dupes and I back with overtime after this break. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's The Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on pre-owned vehicles this holiday season. 2018 F-150 XLT 4x4s are starting at just $29,999 plus tax. Plus, our entire inventory of used trucks is on sale. Ford, Chevy, Ram, and more. It's the most wonderful time of year at Ford of Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store. Capital Ford Pre-Owned in Regina.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the overtime segment here on the old Rod Peterson Show, brought to you by Emerald Water, the OT refresher. Just want to do a quick sports on tap tonight. There are no games in the dub. A nice, long Christmas schedule, particularly for the East Conference teams. If you want some good hockey talk and dub talk, go back to hour one of our program. Cole Sillinger, the Medicine Hat Tigers, was with us right here in the bunker. This is a guy that they're saying, when the Tigers come to your town, you got to buy a ticket to watch this kid. And I can't remember the last time that's happened in the dub.
No, he's worth the price of admission for sure. There is a few guys like that. I mean, the Pats had their guys rolling. Sam Steele was one of those guys.
True.
The Blade said that with the Russian Sherbak. He was electric.
Nikita Sherbak.
He was electric, but...
SJ last night, Battlefords beat Humboldt 4-2 in a hotly contested game at the North Battleford Civic Center. Tonight, the Notre Dame Hounds are at Kindersley, the Clip Joint. And as we pointed out earlier, no NFL Thursday nighter. There are three games, however, on Saturday to kick off Week 16 in the NFL. So that's sports on tap for the tap. Brew Pub and Eatery Regina's only drive-through beer and wine store. Pull that mic right up, if you don't mind. Ian Crosby joining us from Sass Snow Beef. How are you, buddy?
Doing very well, thanks.
What brings you to town?
A little Christmas shopping. There's a bit more variety in Regina than Moose Jaw, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Anybody, where are you hitting? Tell us, where are you going? Or is that letting the cat out of the bag?
Not per se, no. Just shopping for my wife. I only have to look after her, so you got to do it right.
And, there you go.
Yeah, maybe I can find a few stocking stuffers floating around here or something.
Yes,
like that,
we got whatever you want. We got some good Sasky stuff here. Speaking of Moose Jaw, we got lots of stuff for you, Ian. You brought some steaks in here, Sask Snow
Beef. I did.
What's the deal?
I figured I would bring the boys in a couple Christmas gifts you guys can take home
and
do things upright around your family. Maybe give them all a taste of some Saskatchewan snow beef. So.
Clark says, hold the steaks up, Darren. Yeah, don't be so stingy.
Let's see. What'd you bring in? Rod, you got to get your pick in
this
here.
This is Wagyu beef, right?
What do
absolutely,
you like?
Absolutely, yeah.
Superior marbling in taste.
You're the cattle guy. Do you have the your preference on your cut here?
Can I'll you eat guess it all. What those are, Rod, by chance?
Oh, yeah. Let's play the game.
I don't know. A Kansas City strip loin.
Okay, so this one here.
Is there a New York there?
There is no New York. I did not. That's the one cut I did not bring in, actually.
Why don't you tell me? Because I eat it all, man.
So you go here.
Strip loin?
This would be the Colorado steak. This is... a couple of the cuts that we always have at local and fresh air, you're not going to find them at a typical, you know, maybe if you go to a butcher shop and get them to cut it out. But we have everything. The whole cow is available there. So this one, you're not going to go find it at Safeway. That's the Denver steak right there, Colorado style.
All right.
tenderloin, next. Filet mignon. That's the that's my wife's Cadillac favorite right there.
Absolutely. My wife's favorite.
Okay, well, we better send you home with those ones.
The Cadillac of steaks.
Then
the ribeye. It's got to be. That's the man's steak.
My favorite.
Right there.
There's mine.
Did you want the ribeye?
You hit me right
is
in
that
the
what
heart.
You picked?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, set that one.
Absolutely. The ribeye.
And then this one is what they call the queen of steaks in Brazil. That's the picanha.
Ooh.
And,
oh, wow.
Maybe a little lesser known, but it's kind of a hidden gem. And top sirloin cap would be another name that you'd use for that steak. But
Are you, just to veer off beef for a second, are you in withdrawal that the Dub's not playing right now? Because you're like the most hardcore Dub fan in Southern Saskatchewan, I think.
Oh, I would like to be.
You're right up there if you're not number one.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, I guess. World Juniors kind of fills that void a little bit.
True.
There's enough Dub players floating in and around on the team this year. So, unfortunately, Jet Wu is not. That was one of the things.
Yeah.
Him not even getting invited to camp, but it kind of irked me a
little
bit.
You, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Because, you know, you always want to have your connection to your team on the World Juniors. That kind of, you know, really gets you interested into it. And Musha is having a bit of an off year this year, but that was...
Was that expected?
Yeah.
Yeah, to a point, but I had expected, you know, they started out the year really, really hot. And I had thought, you know, maybe if some of these young players could step in and some of these 18, 19-year-olds would step up. But the wheels kind of fell off there with the whole Taphorn thing. And mm-hmm. then they left the team. And then, you know, a couple of our scores, we were trading away. And all of a sudden, it was all the kids. Like, Musha's dressing like 12, 13 right. rookies every single night. And
Braden Tracy hasn't been playing. And
no,
at
but
the early.
You know, the last couple games, well, not the last couple, but the very last game when Kelowna was in town, that was the first time where Tracy looked like himself again, okay. I thought. And so, you know, maybe in the new year, some of those kids will come and step up. And
still half a season to go.
Absolutely.
Right,
so. You know, they're not too far out of a playoff spot. And the East itself is kind of, you know, outside of PA, it's up for grabs, essentially. So
one of the guys, I was thinking about it, but Braden Point's one of those guys who was worth the price of admission, too. Mm-hmm. Man, he was good to watch. One of my favorite players to ever watch in the Dub. But I wanted to ask you about Tim Hunter's comments, because in Saskatoon, they're going through that whole, the expectations were super high and they're unable to hit it because of the Doc thing. And I kind of explained that. But Tim Hunter has kind of switched his tune completely this year. And he's kind of said, it's different. I'm actually coaching the kids now. I'm teaching the game again because we got young kids and we're building to 2 years from now. Mm-hmm. And so he's been honest enough.
Sounds like
about
job
that.
Preservation to me.
Sure, but he's been honest about that. And I feel like people in Moose Jaw aren't that upset anymore because the expectations are a little more realistic and you can get excited about the group that's coming in a couple of years because there's some really good young players.
People are always going to be upset when your team's not doing well. The coach's head is always going to be called for. You know, you have your fans and people, they're always after him. But the best things ever happened to Moose Jaw, as far as I'm concerned, was Tim Hunter and Alan Miller. I mean, they've brought some consistency to the team, you know. We would have a decent team 1 year and then you'd go three bad years. And since they've been in, I mean, their winning percentage has been fantastic. And yeah, it's a bit of a step back this year, but I can't, I would love to see them renew his contract for another couple of years and see if they can do it again. I mean, we had the best team we've ever had 2 years ago and unfortunately it didn't work out the way we'd wanted, but that's just the year it was. That was a fun year to watch hockey though, for sure. It was kind of almost like, especially going down the trade deadline and that I was thinking about today, it was almost like, the movie Anchorman, where you got the three different news crews, and they all kind of like, it was a big gunfight there, and you know, Regina, Swift Current, they were all in Musha, they were all after one another trying.
It was fun, wasn't it?
Oh, it was.
It may be a while before we see that again.
Yeah,
by the
perhaps.
Way, I'm going to read in a minute our last Prairie Mobile text for the day at 840-8777. That's 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile, a very prairie Christmas. Receive a free wireless charging pad with your accessory purchase of $80 or more. People that just tuned in, this is Ian Crosby from Sask Snow Beef and Crosby Holsteins. We just had on Monday Gabriel Napton, CFL defensive lineman, a cattleman from Colorado.
That's why I was thinking about the Colorado
right.
steak. Yeah.
Yeah. When you buy beef and eat beef, you're supporting guys like this and Gabe Napton. Okay? That's all you need to know. And where can people get their Sask Snow Beef in Saskatchewan, Ian?
Either contact myself, come out to the farm, love to have you out, or in Regina, local, ill and fresh. It's a spot you got to go check out because they support everything Saskatchewan. And it's a really cool, unique venue if you're ever looking for to host an event or a wedding
Super
reception
cool, yeah.
or anything like that. Go check it out. It's a great spot.
I was at an event there. I don't know. This may sound like an insult, but you wouldn't even know you were in Regina. Wow. When I went. Is that
yeah,
an insult?
No.
It's just so. It's. I don't know. I
that
mean, it's a pretty cool event.
District is.
New York, Miami, and L.A. was fit right in with all those. It's really cool.
Yeah.
On the Prairie Mobile text line, Metal Shingle Guy writes in about our best hockey moments.
Okay.
And he says, have to say my best hockey from when I was a kid, 1972, Canada-Russia. They brought a TV into the classroom. So you're revealing your age a little bit there, Metal Shingle Guy. For me, it's still 87 Canada Cup, as Johnny Schmidt and I agreed. Was, again, there's no right or wrong answer. But Ian, what was your best Team Canada or international memory of hockey Ooh. That you can remember?
The one that stands out the most would be probably world anything to do with World Juniors, but and then even with that, you know, we've won enough times, but the one that stood out was watching that game where Team Canada unfolded when Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, remember when he
that was horrible. That 2003 World Juniors.
I don't know why that just jumped out of me, but that was one of the worst ones. But just watching all that unfold was probably the one that sticks out the most.
There you go. So most memorable. Not the best.
Not I want a pain way. Here.
Yeah. We gotta, I come. Mooshaw's never won, you know? We've never actually gotten there. So
I was upset because Josh Harding was the backup to Marc-Andre Fleury. And I'm like, why is he even in the net?
He would have stopped.
Should have been Harding. Anyways. Okay, Ian, thanks for stopping by, my man. Merry Christmas.
Perfect. You guys as well.
Dupe, see you tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. It'll be a football Friday tomorrow with John Frenzy and the gang. We'll see you at 10 a.m. Central right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.